Hi everyone, welcome back to It's Not My Fault the OASG Podcast is Not Popular. We are here on our 58th episode, and once again, Justin, we're talking about a convention. I'm Helen.
We're talking about a what?
Justin, I'm never amused by your play. Okay,
I try.
He's already been grumbling at me for 5 minutes.
I know, right? Even when we prep for the podcast, I grumble, and now we do the podcast, I also grumble. She already gave away my name, so I don't even have to repeat it. But yes, we are about to talk about a convention. Another one.
That's what summer is like in the U.S. It's just anime conventions all the time, everywhere.
Yeah, although I guess some people would say this is just a comic convention for San Diego Comic-Con. And also, some would say that it's mostly like exclusive to like the Western stuff, so like Marvel, Image Comics, other comics that I can't help. Other comic publishers I can't think of the names of, but they're all there. And then you just have anime and manga somewhere there.
Although I heard that HBO actually didn't do anything at San Diego Comic Con this year, which is a departure from their previous marketing strategy of yesteryear.
Well, yeah, it was mostly Game of Thrones.
That's an HBO show, though.
Yeah, but they're not the. Because they're not having it this season, I guess they say, you know what, we don't need it. So, there you go.
Well, I mean, and HBO's got other shows like Westworld, which, like, most of my Twitter feed is creaming themselves over most of the time.
Well, I've actually heard mixed opinions about this season of Westworld. Like, I heard season 2 wasn't all that great.
Yeah, well, they were creaming themselves over the first season, then the second season happened, and everyone was suddenly like, oh, no.
Yeah.
No, I'm too old for this now.
That and also, like, the big, like, Marvel Studios wasn't at San Diego Comic Con either, so probably like a weird San Diego Comic Con for some, but that's an entirely different conversation. We're here for the anime and manga stuff. So
Justin, tell us about what anime you've been watching.
Oh right, before we actually
you notorious not anime
before,
watcher.
Before we actually get into convention stuff, there are some other stuff to get to, like what I've been up to, which is finally watching that last
not watching anime.
Watching that last, one of the last stragglers of the summer season, that would be Attack on Titan Season 3. Have to admit, it's actually really engaging. I was trying to recall it, because it's been a while, so it's like, what do I remember? Aside from, okay, that part happened at the end, so where is Season 3 going to start off? And it starts with this dude named Kenny kicking everybody's butt. That's what basically happens through the first two episodes. It's Attack on Titan, but at a faster pace too. Like the pacing, like I think we've accused like the series so far for being pretty slow paced at certain moments, but it's been kicked up a notch for season 3, and it's all the better for it, for sure.
And if you believe Muse, this is where the story just goes off the rails and. Yeah.
Well, it's more like
you'll find her weeping occasionally on Twitter about some of the twists, and I've seen some of the twists, and they are stupid.
It's like, well, I've been a little behind on the manga. I think the next one I'm supposed to read is 23, so I remember some stuff. I don't remember all of it, sadly. So I'm just eventually I'll catch back up. But so far, the anime is just off to a good start. It is. That's not the only. Well, that's probably gonna be the last new show I pick up. I ended up watching Yuna and the Haunted Hot Springs. The manga's actually pretty solid. The anime sucks. The anime doesn't look very great. It's very slow paced. And I find it like, it's nice to have a direct comparison between like the manga and the anime, how they were translated and stuff like that, or localized, I guess. And there are some differences between the two. That's kind of stark. I think I talked about this before last time, like how like they made Yuna sound like, at least make me in certain instances make her seem like she's Velma with the jinkies and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, but, I remember talking about that in the manga.
In the anime, it's not there. And then there's certain like localization moments where it's just very dry. Like I don't think I think this is an Aniplex translated show, and you can freaking kind of tell the difference. You can totally tell. But all that, and with it being as sluggish as it is, I'll be satisfied with like any screen caps if that show up. I'll just stick with the manga. But yeah, that Asobi Asobase, I'm watching Cells at Work. I'm watching, I guess I'm going to stick with Howard Connor Receive, Chill School World, and a bunch of other sequels, like Encouragement to Climb. I'm going to stick with all that. That's basically my summer season. Yeah, I'll basically just be picking up stuff that I have, like, on my backlog. Like, one show that was on my backlog, Real Life, the OVA. I ended up watching that, like, last week.
I really wish we'd get the anime.
The manga, right? The manga, yeah.
Licensed over here, since the pacing's fairly different. Like, I know that those last four episodes were quite a bit of manga condensed in.
I basically just really just focused on Arata and, what's her? Chizuru. It really came down to.
Yeah, but there was a lot more of Chizuru's backstory in the manga. But I wonder, it's by, like, a weird publisher that I don't think has anything licensed in English right now. And the manga is, like, full color.
Is it Comico? So
if that's also... yeah, it's Comico.
Yeah.
Yeah, the same people who put out MMO Junkie.
Excuse me. And, oh no, is that right? Okay, I might have forgotten the title. Ignore Matt. Ignore me. Yeah, that...
Yeah, it's along the lines where I'm like, I like the anime adaptation, but I really like the manga. The manga's what I really want to own.
Yeah, I guess we're just going to make do with this. And I guess, like, in general, the Real Life series was pretty good, I think. I feel like it was pretty solid. It was pretty, like, the interactions were neat. I'm not going to say it looked great, but it was passable. I think it was a pretty solid show that people should watch.
Mm-hmm. And the ending might make you cry. I'm
pretty sure. Yeah, I guess I can't say it without spoiling anything. But yeah, that part was pretty touching for sure.
Or a friend of mine was like, "No, I'm done." And I'm like, "Did you watch past the credits?" And she's like, "Oh." I was like, "Come on." You gotta do that before you make any final calls on shows. You always have to stick till after the credits, just in case.
It's like a Marvel film?
Marvel is not the first one to invent things, Justin.
You just said, like, you gotta wait till after the credits, so I'm like, oh, wait, isn't that what Marvel does?
Again, Marvel did not invent that show.
Alright.
There was even a term for it before Marvel did it.
Gotcha.
Well, is that all you've been watching?
That's all I've been watching, and maybe just reading, but I've already talked enough, so it's your turn. What you been up to?
Let's see. Well, I saw Makuya in theaters last week, which was pretty great. I definitely liked it, so I'm going to be getting the Blu-ray of that at some point. And I'm going to keep an eye out for the production art book, see if I can find it at Otakon in the dealership.
Oh, wow.
If not, I'll consider getting it online, because it's a really pretty looking film.
You loved it that much?
I mean, I like the art that much, yeah.
Oh. I guess it must be pretty solid. Is that all you've been able to check out?
Oh, I was waiting for you to finish talking.
Oh. Well, I got the... Why? What can I say? Like, it's a Mario Kata directed film, right?
Yep.
And obviously, there's been some history that we know regarding her. But I guess having her work or direct her own work as a big help, huh?
I don't remember who wrote it. I don't know if it was primarily her or a collaboration of other folks. I didn't catch that in the beginning of the show. But I'm going to say, like, it would be really funny, and I feel, like, in some ways gratifying, if she turned out to be a fairly good anime writer, but then one of the strongest new directors to come out of this year. Because that would be almost out of the blue. Yeah, so I saw that. I finished Megalobox, and I liked it. I'm not sure why people were complaining about the ending. I feel like they did not get what the point of the show was if they were complaining about the ending. And let's see. Oh, and I finally made time to start Yamato 2202, which is the sequel to 2199 that Crunchyroll's been putting out since last November or so. Finally got a chance to start in on that, and I'm just, like, binging through it since there's, like, 12 episodes out by this point. Just binging through, thoroughly enjoying this story of, oh no, we're the adults, and uh-oh, things are going kind of badly. Space adventure.
Huh, sounds like a typical anime plot, doesn't it?
Well, the thing is that it's, like, I was joking on Twitter. It's kind of like, fuck the adults. Wait, we are the adults.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Well, I mean, it's a sentiment I can relate to, so... But yeah, I mean, you guys heard last week all the summer anime I'm trying out. I think the only thing that's aired since then is We Rent Tsukumono?
Yeah, Tsuku.
I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one's come out. I've tried that, and I'm not sure if I'm going to keep it yet. And then there's still one show that hasn't aired yet. I think it's, like,
The
Ryogo's Investigations.
Yeah, the Shonen Jump show.
Yeah, so that one's not airing until August, so it's going to be a while before I can check that out.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's like, well...
Yeah, I don't know why that one's got an odd slot like that. Not sure what's going on, but... Eh.
Yeah, until then. Until then. So, alright. I think it's time. Are we ready to talk about San Diego Comic-Con news?
I mean, there's kind of a bigger piece of news first, but I want you to explain since you've been looking more into it.
Oh yeah, that one. So, I mean, I'm about as knowledgeable about it, well, a little bit, I guess, knowledgeable about the digital manga situation as you.
You're the one who's been combing through, like, Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what's going on. You definitely
Look,
know more about
that
it
was,
than me.
That was point. A lot, that was specifically a line thing to keep with the team. You don't just say that out loud on a podcast. All right, I'm going to get...
Wait, why don't I say it out loud? Why don't I reveal our perfectly reasonable and lawful methods of acquiring information?
I guess to try to keep it as short as possible, two things. We already have articles up on the site regarding digital manga from Crystalina, and she's even going to come up with something this week. So by the time the podcast comes out, the article will all be out, so... You can read that, but the short of it is digital manga has been suspended by the Secretary of State of California. I was confused as to what this possibly could mean, considering they're still running their Kickstarter. But my working theory, and it's just a theory, don't take it as truth or whatever, but the reason they're, like, you can't buy anything on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc. from them is because they can't. Like, they can only sell within their state, or... It's the reason they have their own website where you can buy it from them directly. That's my theory. Other than that, I'm not sure how this affects them, aside from the fact that, wow, how behind or how... What's going on here? It sounds like it should be something they should be able to do easily, but they're not. It's very... Amongst the many concerning things about them, this is very concerning.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like DMP has no idea how to run a business.
Which is weird, because, like, I mean, they've done it, but, I mean, they started out running the business. I think the big...
But were they ever running it well?
Yeah, well, I mean, let's see, it was like... I can't remember when they officially started. It was like 2010 or something? 2010? 2000, I don't remember. But they've been around... Like, I remember, like, I believe Ben Applegate used to work there, too. So, I mean, they had some people work there before, and it was fine then. They had some, obviously, they had the Vampire Hunter D series, so I guess the thing that went wrong is that I guess they got involved with Tezuka, I don't know, Tezuka and Kickstarter, I guess that was their downfall.
I mean, I seem to recall people even back around 2013 or so who are saying that the company wasn't being run as well as it should have.
Well, yeah, because, like, they had, like...
Or that might have been E-Manga? DMP and E-Manga.
They're the same. They're the same.
Okay.
It's just that they had so, like... They had the innovation of, we're gonna grab these titles. We're gonna basically have a group of, like, former scanlators or whatever and translate these or localize these titles. I remember they had, like, a big list of, titles that they had the rights to. But, of course, none of them really came out. There was, like, a few, like, they had, like, Kotora-san, they had the Henneko, Hentai Prince and the Stony Cat, had those, but then, like, they had some other stuff, too, and they never actually got to work on them. So it's a case where they overpromised, and that actually, you know what, because of the Kickstarter, it's, like, basically, that basically shows how much they tried to over-deliver, and trying to do all these Kickstarters, and it's biting them well in the butt.
Yeah, but speaking of mergers, apparently they lost their license to operate before they would merge with Akadot this back in May or so. Wait,
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, they lost their license to operate, you know, that thing in the state of California.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Before they...
Yeah. Yeah, I understood that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you keep cutting me off.
Ah! Sorry, I thought I mentioned that already. My bad.
Mm-mm, no, you didn't mention the Akadot thing, I think.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I'm not sure... Oh, I'm pretty sure I've said this before. But I don't know what's... I don't know what they're going to do. Because they said in a recent update in the Kimiko Orange Road for the backers and everybody, for everybody to see, that they're going to try to get to the highest tier in that one. They start with lower tiers. They're going to get to the highest tier for that one, and hopefully in November. And they'll also hopefully provide an update on the other three Kickstarters that they're doing by then, or maybe sooner. But who knows? Nope, nobody really knows.
Yeah, you're right, I don't know. So, let's move on to things we do know, which is San Diego Comic-Con anime and manga-related news. Some years, there's not a lot of those coming out of San Diego Comic-Con, but this year there was a surprising amount. I also follow comics to a degree, like I follow webcomics, which makes me sort of indie, I guess. And so I usually follow what happens with the Eisners a little bit, which are a series of comic awards that are presented at San Diego Comic-Con this every year. And this year, my brother's husband won an award, and Rumiko Takahashi was inducted into the Eisner Hall of Fame. And I have some mixed feelings on the Eisners in general. Like, they're really U.S. and slightly Canada-focused, but they never mention this as, like, a U.S. award, so everyone kind of assumes they're a global award, but they don't look globally at all when it comes to people to honor, comics to honor, etc. And I definitely feel like the entire comics industry still has a bit of a love affair with print comics that they need to get over with right now, since I feel like most of the interesting stuff is being done on the web at this point. Like, sure, there's some interesting stuff being done in print as well, but if you look at, like, what the big starters make compared to, like, print sales for print comics, it's like, yeah, you guys are kind of beholden and fusty and backwards. So I don't really trust the Eisners a lot. The taste for the award winners also rarely lines up with my own. But it was kind of cool to see them recognize my brother's husband as a good series and induct Rumiko Takahashi into the Hall of Fame. Because, yeah, she was definitely an inspiration for a lot of comic creators going on right now. So I feel like that's what you should be looking for when you're looking for someone going into the Hall of Fame.
It's like about damn time. Like, what are you doing?
Being old white men in America.
For me, the Eisners, it just feels like they have a certain, like, criteria, which makes me think of, like, and if you look at, like, their list.
Be liked by old white men.
Like, if you look at the list, it's, like, very serious or, like, a certain type of, of work. Like, you won't see, like, something like, obviously, Naruto or anything like that, obviously. But,
yeah, they're looking for the prestigious.
Yeah, something.
I always have mixed feelings on that in general. Yeah. There are other comic awards that I like better. Or just to even see what some other comic conventions, who they're inviting as guests. Like, I like to see who TCAF's inviting as a guest. That usually indicates something's a little closer to my taste. And I also like the Ignatz Awards, which are run out of my local con, Small Press Expo. Hmm. Also, because the Ignatz are cool and your trophy is literally a brick.
I'm sorry, what? It's a brick?
Yeah, apparently this is a reference to the original Ignatz comic character that the award is named after. It's literally a brick.
Oh, wow. Well.
And they give out the award at a ceremony during their comics prom, which is themed every year and has a chocolate fondue fountain.
Mmm, chocolate fondue. Mm-hmm.
SPX is a pretty cool con, guys. They've got Rebecca Sugar coming this year.
So let's see. Okay, I guess you were interested in this particular Media Do announcement.
No, I just put it on there because I figured you'd trust me if I didn't. We already had a discussion before we started taping about why did you leave these things off? Because I wasn't interested in them.
Oh my god. Now we just totally revealed our meeting. pre-podcast
meeting. I don't know why you like to keep an air of mystery around everything, because you know that that is not how I operate in any sense, way, or shape, or form.
Okay, yeah. Mitadu's going to bring out Baki the Grappler. And obviously that's been a long... that's a really... What was it? When this series start? Well, the original series started... I want to say somewhere in the 90s. Okay, I'm going to get this wrong. I feel like somewhere in the 7... okay, I'm not going to say it. I'm checking it out. But they're not actually bringing out the older run. They're bringing a second version of that. They're bringing the one that was... In the late 90s, that's the one they're bringing over. So it's the 31.
So it's a reboot of the original?
I'm not sure what that version is. It's 31 volumes. I have no idea what their what kind of schedule they're going to bring it out or when it's coming out in August, but that's when it's supposed to come out. It's obviously timing. It's obviously a timing thing because the anime is already out. It's just not on Netflix yet. So yeah, by the time it comes out, like we'll have some volumes of that at the ready, and we can also watch the Netflix version whenever that comes out.
Is the Netflix version a new anime version or live action?
It's a new anime. Yeah, it's a new anime.
Oh, I haven't heard about this at all. Yeah. It something that's supposed to
remember
be
when they
season,
remember when they had that big like Netflix thing where they announced like. A couple anime like I don't know what Bee the Beginning was on that, but like they also announced like Lost Song or something like that. Baki the Grappler.
Well, they never. I don't think they ever formally announced that Lost Song was going to be on Netflix. We've all just started assuming.
No. There was I think it was on ANN.
And I know they made an announcement earlier this year saying they were going to put more anime on, but they said 40 to 50 new titles. So I haven't had a chance yet to go through and count how many they've already put out.
Right, that's fair.
I mean, a lot of stuff, like, they haven't even formally announced Sirius the Jaeger, but it's clearly that's a Netflix title.
Right. So, yeah, well, actually, remember, they never announced they had Sakuga Case Season 2 either, but they just threw it up there.
Well, no, they announced they had it. They never announced when they put it up.
I don't believe they formally announced it, but that's just apples and oranges, honestly.
Someone announced it, because I remember you moaning over it when we figured it
out.
No,
like, I saw it on Twitter. That's how.
That might count as an announcement with the way Netflix operates. Netflix, we are an indomitable behemoth. We make our own rules. And we're kind of sucky at the PR thing.
No, it's just anime. Like, I get emails from Netflix. I get emails from Netflix, like, all the time about their other stuff.
Yeah. It's not like Amazon's any better these days. Amazon's still... Even without anime strike, they're still really behind on putting subtitles out on some shows. Mm.
Sucks for them. But yeah, I actually do want to at least try Baki the Grappler out, because it's one of those manga that's been considered it looks very ugly, but it's apparently very good. I like to find out. And also find out if it's translated well, too. I do want to find that out.
Yeah, and then, let's see, other license announcements from San Diego Comic-Con were pretty heavily focused on manga, including Drawn and Quarterly is going to be publishing a collection of works by Yoshiharu Suge, and I believe he was a large inspiration for the Gekiga mangaka, which was, I guess you could call it a movement in the later parts of the 20th century where they were trying to do more dark stories. They wanted to differentiate themselves a lot from the ways that manga was going. It's a bit of a subtle difference, since manga itself is pretty broad. You can have dark stories in manga, and you can have similar art styles. But it's cool that this guy, who was a major influence on a lot of mangaka, is getting published in the US for the first time. Although, looking at the sample pages they put up, it's probably not for me, so I'm probably not going to read it.
Helen!
I mean, I don't like grim, dark, and edgy. We've well established this. But, I think a lot of times it's quite pretentious.
But it's for... Well, I actually don't know, but it could be for like a mature, it's supposed to be for mature audiences, maybe adults.
Justin, I am not a mature audience.
Was there an announcement as when it was coming, next year or something like that?
I don't remember seeing one off the top of my head.
Okay. Yeah, that was, yeah, that's a pretty significant announcement too. That's pretty significant. Kodansha also made some somewhat significant announcements, but it's more digital announcements. Oh well, I guess some people could take what they
get. It's less stuff for me to try and review on the site. Not that we get review copies for Kodansha a lot in general, so that's why I don't review
much
other stuff.
Yeah, we try. Well, yeah. There's only a few we can get review-wise, but other than that, that's about it.
Yeah, since it's digital only, like Amazon, the publishers have no idea how to give out review copies from that, so we just can't.
So they ended up licensing a couple titles for their August, their usual August digital release schedule. And then five of them are BL titles, which is something like we were talking about, like, I think last time when we talked about their announcement at Anime Expo. I guess they're getting into Boys Love and Yuri and stuff like that. Well, this time they decided, okay, we're going to announce all that at San Diego Comic-Con. So that's what they did. I forgot what, I think this, what was it? This is out of Kodansha's Milk Morning. I think that's what the magazine was called for these five titles. What was it called? Let's see. Stray Bullet Baby, His Whims in Check, Intertwining Lives, King Ring Lock, Trap in a Skirt. Those are the...
Wait, are we seriously using the word trap?
They're seriously using the word.
Oh, God, please, people don't do this. Trap is a derogatory slur for trans
that's
people
what
that my trans friends who don't like, so...
That's what I'm curious about. Is this a BL thing? Or because literally, like, when I tweet, like, I sent that out, I was like, nobody is saying anything about that. So I'm like, Is it something I'm... Well, is it because of... Is it the context? I have no idea.
I think it's because Kodansha licenses so many manga and so many digital-only announcements that people... Okay, first off, Annie Twitter is very much anime-focused. There's not as many people talking about manga all the time. Secondly, Kodansha puts out so many things that a lot of us just sort of tune them out by now. And third, if it's a digital-only title, then it's even less likely to get reviewed by us and other sites. Just, there's too many for all of us to keep up with. So I think that's partially why. People have to know it exists to generate any kind of discussion around it. But I'm seriously questioning that title. I totally missed a lot of these announcements. I'm going to look into that.
Yeah,
later.
And find out why nobody said anything about it. Because it's
important. I imagine it's because most of us have not heard about it. All the trans folks and trans allies have just not heard about this. I am seeing they also license Backstreet Girls, which, ugh.
Yeah, like, it's like, wait, it's a hidden Netflix title. Literally, and I saw some screenshots. It did not look great at all. Not great. So I'm like, okay.
Like, bad art style and all that?
Like, it's like, did they even put any effort into it?
I've definitely seen a couple of folks writing about the anime saying that it felt kind of weird. Like, in some moments, the characters like their manager, and other moments, they hate their manager. So it sounds like it's very uneven storytelling-wise as well.
Well, who knows how the anime handled that. But yeah, Kodansha licensed that. They decided to bring back Peach Girl. I think that was a Tokyopop title, right?
Yeah, that was Tokyopop.
Yeah, they keep doing that, Beck. Dragonhead first, then Beck, now Peach Girl, and I think the other two titles. Well, what was it? No, just My Boy in Blue. I guess that's another shoujo title. That's it.
Yeah, and then continuing with manga, we've got Fantagraphics, who's licensing some manga, which is funny because I totally mocked them about licensing manga over on Manga in Your Ears this week. But they picked up Muto Hagia's The Poe Clan manga, which ran in the mid to late 70s, it looks like. I was looking it up earlier. There's a sequel that's currently on hiatus in Japan right now, but it looks like they just picked up the original five-volume run from the 70s. I'm interested in it, though, since I haven't read much of Moto Hagio. I read some of The Heart of Thomas for our episode this week, but I didn't have a chance to get through all of that 500 pages of melodrama. But I'm certainly interested, since I like her art style. It's really nice. And they're already publishing other things by her, I think. I think they did...
Otherworldly Barbara, I think.
Yeah, I think that's one of hers. And The Drunken Dream was also hers, right?
I think maybe.
I think so, yeah. So it makes sense that they'd be picking more of someone who they seem to already have a working relationship with.
Yeah.
I just totally didn't realize Moto Hagio was still alive. I'm used to all the artists from that era being dead. So I was like, wait, she's still alive. Oh, and she's still producing.
Okay, Helen. Wow.
She's in, like, her 70s. Manga artists usually tend to die young because they're overworked.
Then you look at, wasn't Shigeru Mizuki around for a while?
Yeah, but he prided himself on getting at least 8 hours of sleep a night. And then you look at Tezuka, who died in, like, what, his 50s? Maybe 60s?
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, he did die young, though.
Yeah, Tezuka died young, so... Yeah, Tezuka could still be alive right now, so...
Yeah. Udon. They kind of...
Did not tell us anything about those
episodes. They kind of announced some stuff. They kind of announced some stuff, but I'm not really interested. They delayed an art book. They announced some Mega Man stuff. And I think there was another thing they announced. Oh, something about evolving Fooly Cooly. But that's about it. And then apparently at their panel, they, as you already alluded to or mentioned, they were supposed to say something about Rosa Versailles, but they did not. Or they said that we're going to reveal it next week. I'm just letting you know.
And it's already been like 2 weeks.
It's net week. Wasn't saying next week? Last week?
Yeah, so it should have been last week as of recording.
I mean, like, up to... forget about it. But yes, but they haven't said anything about it yet. And I probably mentioned this person to Helen, but I think I mentioned to Helen. Maybe I did. About Udon and how I just don't really... I don't have faith in them right now. I don't.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah, I think, like, the entire OASG chats online are basically like, yeah, I don't believe Udon. Yeah, I don't think Udon's going to come through on this. It's just all of us being like, we'll believe it when we see it.
Yeah, basically. You put yourself in that position, it is what it is. And that's what they've done. And okay.
Oh, shoot.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, shoot, I should have mentioned this one earlier for the better transition. But Viz is actually going to be re-releasing one of Rumiko Takahashi's manga. They're going to be doing a re-release of Urusei Yatsura. So I think people said this is going to be the third or fourth go they've had at the manga. They're trying again. I think they might be bringing this one out in Omnibus this time.
Yeah, 2-in-1. 2-in-1.
Yeah, so good for all those fans who have been clamoring for years since I know that pain of out-of-print Viz manga titles. I know the pain of finding those for reasonable prices.
Did they ever finish it? I don't think they did, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure they even actually managed to finish it in their previous attempts, since it's a longer series to start with. Yeah.
But I actually am glad to bring it out, because I think we're at a time where, obviously, now we're bringing back these classics, and obviously, Urusei Yatsura is a big, big classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like the market's grown a bit, and name recognition's grown a bit to make it more viable at this point, anyway.
It's kind of make... This kind of makes me want to get back and or try to collect the Rama Run Half again.
They've been re-releasing that one, haven't
they? They did.
Okay, I couldn't remember if it was the manga or the
anime. They did release the manga. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I should probably do that. Finally watch Inuyasha, the final act. I still haven't watched it yet. I still have the awful anime ending, the original ending. I still have that in my memory. I have the Blu-ray copy, and I still haven't opened it whatsoever.
Well, I mean, you've got, like, what, a twin-size bed, a pile of unwatched anime and unread manga?
Oh, God.
So you sent me a picture of it recently, and it just took up your entire bed because you were cleaning.
Like, I was cleaning, and I just wanted to emphasize, look at all this stuff I need to actually consume eventually. I want to do it, and I just keep stalling. But
like, I got more review copies from you recently, and at least my to-read piles are still more manageable. Multiple piles only because I've got stuff from you, and I've got stuff from the library, and I really don't want to get the library stuff mixed up with other stuff, or I'm going to get more fines.
Yeah, and I got some library stuff, too, so...
Yeah, thanks to my library, I've read the 30th volume of Magi by now.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, and all of Rakugo that's out by now, so like 7 volumes of that. I'm starting Tokyo ESP because I badgered them into buying it, so you can see why I want to keep my manga separate in those different piles.
Also, this is good advice for anybody that doesn't go to their libraries. Just go badger library people for manga.
Yeah, my library's cool since they have an app so I can use it on my phone just to, you know, place holds and stuff really quickly. And one of the buttons on the app is request a purchase for us. And I've noticed if I request something, they won't automatically put it on hold for me, but they will stock it at my local branch, which is nice.
Hmm. That's great. That's very great.
My library system's pretty cool, yo.
Let's see. Other San Diego Comic-Con announcements. And this is one I obviously say with utmost detest, or just like Not again. Tokyopop again is back. Oh, I think I said that a lot of times already.
Yeah, we've been saying that a couple times recently.
Yeah, so. I feel like it's just that I feel like until they actually get a title out, I think they did get a title out, Konoha to Kitan. And I guess, like, everybody reports back and say, oh, it actually is reads well and everything. Until that happens, I'm just going to keep saying they're back. And this time they're bringing over, or they're bringing back a title that they used to have. That'd be Aria. They're going to release it in an omnibus format, some gold foil colors or something like illustration, something like that. I forgot what it was. But they're going to make it nice. And I'm just like, are you going to bring it out? Are you going to finish this? What? And how,
didn't they finish it the first time?
No, that's the problem. They didn't finish it the last time. And then, of course, I just love how, like, we have a bunch of... Oh, that also reminded me of a Viz announcement that I'm going to get to after this. They also didn't... They had this panel. They made this announcement at San Diego Comic-Con. But, of course, nobody actually apparently went to their panel or something because nobody reported on it. So Tokyopop apparently reached out to ANN or something to tell them. That is,
I mean, like, a lot of companies send out press releases, so that's pretty normal.
Okay.
And ANN will report from press releases. Not everything's a tip.
Okay, yeah, but, like...
Honestly, it's weirder when they don't send out press releases, like that one time I was reporting on the vertical panel.
How's it feel, Helen? I still contend you should have put that on your Twitter profile.
Ah, dang it, I meant to put that on there. I was a source for ANN one time. I keep forgetting to do that, because I'm out of characters by now.
But yeah, Aria is supposed to come out February. They're going to start with their prequel, Aqua. They're going to start with the...
Which they also did, like, put out before when they were Tokyopop and whatever Tokyopop 3.0 is. Yeah.
Was it 4.0? Because you remember they had the time when they teamed up with Right Stuff to put out Italia.
I think that was 2.0, since there was Mixed Comics, and then there was Tokyopop, and then there was the Hatalia stuff. I think we're on 3.0 right now if we're considering Mixed Comics to be, like, a different name and not part of the numbering scheme then.
Okay, and...
And what was the...
Right, media? Speaking of, again, like, weird publishing or San Diego Comic-Con reporting, and I even blame Viz for this, too, because I didn't see it on the Twitter account at all. Everything that they announced at San Diego Comic-Con was on the Twitter. Deb Aoki tweeted it out and everything. But then I get the press release sometime this week, and then I see all the titles. I think, okay, I'm gonna do the usual, post on the Twitter account, the Twitter account. And then I noticed that they licensed the Full Metal Alchemist 4-panel comics. I was like, wait, what?
Oh yeah, I think I definitely heard about that from our Twitter account.
I was like, wait, I didn't see anybody, and I had to search it on Twitter and be like, did anybody say anything about this? No. It's like, huh? I was almost concerned at one point.
Did they forget?
The first thing I wondered was that, did the PR guy screw up when they sent this over? And then I ended up checking Amazon, and I was like, oh, it's there. So, yeah, it's legit. It's a legit thing. I don't know if Viz forgot to mention it. They mentioned it quickly or something at the comic at the panel. I have no idea. But yeah, Hiromu Okawa's 4-panel comics is coming, and that's very good because it's obviously the most hilarious part of the series. So
yeah, she does good 4-panel comics. Oh, but speaking of Amazon, real fast. So I mentioned that Banana Fish was delayed this week on Amazon for no reason, as far as any of us can tell. And so I was grousing a couple people. I'd be like, hey, I'm not seeing it. Is anyone else seeing it yet? Nope. Aw. And, like, unbidden, like, I think one of the Shoujo Beat editors came into my Twitter and was like, guys, you can get it on Right Stuff, not Amazon. If it's not up on Amazon, we were like, no, we mean the anime. And I was thinking, man, they must have gotten so many angry tweets by now. People being like, where is it? If they're just, like, coming unbidden into a tweet that says Banana Fish on Amazon at the same time.
Yeah, it's just that they handled it. I feel like they handled that Banana Fish reporting so clumsily, though.
And also, it's like, dude, we didn't even tag anybody in there.
Yeah. It's like, did they not realize the anime is
also tweet Viz or anything. We were definitely talking about the anime being like, because I was like, did it take off this week? Did something happen?
But yeah, I bet you they have been getting enough banana fish asked questions. And I feel like this is obviously not harsh.
Give the people what they want. They want their 1970s and 80s shoujo crime dramas.
Yeah.
With boys who occasionally kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like that's almost all of the announcements at San Diego Comic-Con. There was an announcement saying that the My Hero Academia Two Heroes movie, which they premiered, I think at Anime Expo, it's going to come to U.S. theaters in September, which is pretty great. It means I'm going to have seen like an anime film in theaters almost every month for the second half of the year, since I'm planning to see The Night is Short, Walk On Girl. I think I Want to Eat Your Pancreas is going to be out in November. I saw Makuya. I saw Miss Modern. I've seen some other things. So I'm like, dang! Like, people are going to think I'm just a weeb or anything if I only see, like, anime films in the theaters, but I happen to like the theaters that was working, and not the other theaters. Also, these are shorter than, like, 3-hour Marvel Slugfests.
So. Hey! Ant-Man and the Wasp was, like, 2 hours. Maybe.
No. And actually, we got some other anime movie news outside of San Diego Comic-Con. Like, Wojcicoi, Love is Hard for Notaku is going to be giving a live-action film, which I think is going to do okay. I feel like that one's going to be okay since it is, like, a realistic world setting. I don't know how they're going to handle the comedy, but I feel like this one's going to be okay, even though I can tell Justin is suspicious of
good.
It already.
Good, you can tell.
You made your feelings on Japanese live-action well known, Justin. And, do you remember how, when they were talking about In This Corner of the World, some of the folks who worked on it said, yeah, we had to cut, like, 30 minutes of stuff out of the film.
I think so, yeah. I think so.
Yeah, and so there definitely are some parts from the manga which they cut out. And so they are releasing a new cut of the movie, I think this December, actually, where they're going to add stuff back in. Basically, most of the stuff they cut out was related to that prostitute that the main character runs into, like, once in the red light district. She runs into her more times in the manga, and there's also a subplot where she thinks her husband's cheating on her at one point. And I remember I mentioned that to my mom after I showed her the film recently. My mom's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I was wondering if that's where they were going on there. So that's going to be coming out in Japan in December. And I'm thinking, dang it, I got the Blu-ray for this movie because I was thinking, oh, this might not ever happen. It'll take them years. And now they bring out this new extended version. I'm just going to be so conflicted. Like, should I get the new one or not?
Look, just double dip. That's what that's what the cool people do, don't they?
I mean, the first film, I also got it because it was, like, on sale for, like, $12 on Amazon. I was like, this is pretty affordable, at least. And then, okay, so, a new Evangelion film is coming, but I can't tell if this is actually going to be, like, the fourth film everyone's been waiting for. It's going to be...
I'm sorry.
It's, like, Shin Evangelion. I think it's 3.0 plus 1.0. So you can see where I'm a little confused since they were supposed to go, like, 1.0, 2.0, 3.0Q. So I'm a little confused, but it's coming 2020, so... Justin, do you know when the first one came out?
I don't remember.
The first one came out when I was a freshman in high school, and I will have graduated grad school by the time this one comes out.
Huh. For starters, I thought that movie trilogy was finished. I thought it was done.
No, it was always supposed to be four films.
I thought it was done. I had no idea. I just didn't care for it, honestly.
I've only seen the first two. I've never had a chance to see the third one, and I never cared that much for the TV series, so I wasn't...
I kind of...
really proactively trying to find
it. I really just wish the TV series was streaming, but I'm going to assume... Or license, one or the other, but I'm going to assume, hey, we got the movies that's out. Watch those instead.
Yeah, just... Shinji's depiction of his depression just is complete opposite of what my depression's always been like, so I've just never resonated with it at all.
Yeah, I get it. I just feel like, I remember when I watched it, it just told the story really well. But then again... I watched this when it was on TV, way back when. I have no idea if my feelings have changed on that, but, I mean, get in the robot! It's just hard to forget that line, though.
Well, the thing was, he got in the robot. There's an entire episode where he won't get out of the robot. There's a problem.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm always just so much more mad, and he's just so much more... So,
he was one of the few.
I'm excited for my friends who like Evangelion that they will get to see another movie, but I'm like, is this supposed to be the fourth one, or are you guys about to be, like, cucked again, waiting for another one?
where is this podcast going? Anyways.
That makes two times I've sworn up this podcast.
Something I added to the script that wasn't on there. Crunchyroll, and this is also another post-Comic-Con announcement. Crunchyroll added a bunch of catalog titles from Funimation.
And I have a funny story about that once you've gone through
all of them. Okay, I'm not saying all of them. There's no way. They announced, like, what, 10 or 13 some titles? I don't even remember. I only just grabbed the ones I'm definitely interested in, or at least, like, when I posted the tweet on the OSHA account, got a lot of attraction, like, significant, like, notice. Like, obviously, Outlaw Star got noticed. Trigun got noticed. Shakugan Oshana got noticed by someone.
Certain folks on our Twitter feeds. By
specifically somebody on this podcast.
No, I was yelling about it because I Bless All has been like yelling Crunchyroll for like 7 months straight at this point, after being like, where is Shakugan and Oshana, you cowards?
That's what I mean. Like, I go look at the Twitter and I'm like, oh, it's Helen. And I see you're adding somebody about the tweet. It's like, wow. And then you say the tweet was so funny.
I'm just mad because now he's dropped watching Phantom in the Twilight so he can rewatch Shauna. And I'm like, bless. This is a terrible life choice.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even
watch the first season of Shauna.
Okay?
I watched the entire first season. And 3 years later, I was like, oh my God, I did. I have no memory of this.
I watched the first episode of that and I'm like, you know what? I think the time has passed for this one. For me, I think I got into this one way too. I think I watched it because it was like one of the. It's on this list of like the top 50 or greatest anime of the. Some sort of list that had like it as one of the top 50 of an anime of the decade or something like that. It was on one of those lists that I saw. And I guess I see why. It's just that now watching it in. Was it? I got watched it a couple years ago. Not anymore. It just doesn't hold up. It doesn't hold up to me. So, yeah. But that got traction. And my Hime got attraction, too. I guess it's a good show?
I have no idea. I've never seen
it. Okay. So, yeah. That and Fujiko Mine got a big notice. But for me... Oh, and... not on my tweet, but I guess I'm getting in general. But, Nichijou obviously was a big, big title that Crunchyroll is now streaming on their service.
Yeah, my Twitter feed in general was very happy over that one.
So that's cool. I'm definitely gonna watch that because I love the manga. I read the first volume. I want to read more of it. I gotta pick up more of it. It was really funny. But I guess I'm gonna cheat a little bit and watch the anime. I'm happy. The Mystic Archives of Dantalion's back. Like it used to be a Crunchyroll. And I remember watching that at like an anime club. And I thought it was a pretty solid show. I don't know if it was actually as good as I remember it, but I remember we finished it, so I'm thinking we liked it enough. So I'm glad that's back. And I might finally be able to finish Tokyo Ravens this time. I might be able to do it.
Yeah, I liked that one.
Like I watched...
I really wish someone would license the novels since there's a lot more in the novels than the anime adapted since the novels just... continued on.
Right. Like, I remember I just watched the first the first half, because I think that's all I had of that series, and then I didn't have the second part, so I was like, I guess I'll watch it at some point, but obviously I haven't. maybe I'll just make some time for it event at some point.
Yeah, for me, the second half is a lot stronger. Like, there were a couple of characters I couldn't stand in the first half of the show, and by the second half, I was like, oh, okay, you guys are actually all right. Okay, I don't hate you every time you're on screen. Yeah, the funny story was that I think they also got Sword of the Stranger in this batch.
They did.
So I saw Miles on Twitter talking about Sword of the Stranger. I think it's because of that anime bingo meme everyone's doing. And Nate Ming on Twitter was like, you should watch it, we have it. And Miles is like, really, we have it? And I was thinking, you know that's when they've gotten a lot of stuff, when even, like,
the
managers can't keep track of how much they have.
Yeah, well, maybe it could have been, it could have been a joke. Because I think I saw the social media manager say, oh my god, we got Nichijou? I think that's what I saw on my Twitter. So who knows? That could be just playing it up.
And that one, I don't think Miles was playing it up. I think he legitimately did not think it's Sword the Stranger.
One more thing that they did announce was Go Sick, which I think I remember watching when it was on Crunchyroll originally.
I'm pretty sure it was on Crunchyroll before, since I definitely saw it legally streaming somewhere.
Yeah, I don't remember if I actually liked the show or not. I don't remember. I know I feel like I watched it.
I felt like it was a show that had potential, but just really needed a lot more restructuring, like, refocus on the characters. I felt like it needed a good editor, like, going, no, new draft, go.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. That sounds fair. But yeah, that's back. Maybe I'll give that a shot, but I have bigger fish fries than Gosei, sadly. And then, yeah, that's about all the anime I care about. Don't watch C3. That's it.
Yeah, so we've got, actually, we're about done with news. We've just got some weird news. I put all these on, so I guess I'll handle all.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I didn't put any weird news in for Justin this week. I did send him the link about the Kaido kids stealing the Conan statue, but
yeah,
we're not going to talk
about that. The only thought about that is I guess they're setting up for the next movie next year. That's it.
Yeah, it's just some sort of promotion. But yeah, so Glass Mask has been a long-running manga forever. The anime is going on High Dive now, and apparently they're going to do a real-world stage play adaptation of one of the fictional plays they perform in the manga. It's called The Crimson Goddess, and it was just, you know, created in the manga for the characters to perform, and so apparently they are actually adapting it into a real play, which I thought was just sort of amusingly strange.
Is it?
Yeah, probably nothing we'll be able to see, because it's so hard to see, like, those live-action productions from Japan unless you're watching, like, a cam rip of the Air Gear musical, which you should totally look up, though, because it's great.
The Air Gear musical?
They rollerblade on a, like, on a circular stage that goes around the audience. It's amazing. And so, okay, I think it was last time we were talking about how someone bought an Acre of the Moon and named it Bakugo and sent it to the My Hero Academia creator. Yes. And so now someone else has bought a galaxy and named it All Might.
Yes, and
when I say bought, I mean, like, bought the right to name it. Since you can't own space, we have international treaties on this.
It's still kind of weird, though.
I think it's funny, it's like, Bakugo's got the moon, well, All Might's got a constellation.
The things people do with their time. Hey, I guess they love it that much.
Yeah, and so my favorite weird news of the week is that Monthly Girls Mizaki-kun has hit 100 chapters, so about 10 volumes. I really wish we would get a second series, but if we ever do get a second season of the anime, I really need us to focus on the idol group that the guys from Monthly Girls Mizaki-kun have now formed. They've now done, like, this little, you know, kind of like those advertising campaigns where it's like, oh yeah, remember, this thing exists. And so they've got five of the guys from Nozaki-kun and Kashima dressed up like they're from a boy band idol unit, and it's pretty great. I'm like, I want merchandise of this. This is great.
You will buy all the merchandise. I will...
No, I won't, because I don't want to pay shipping from Japan.
Okay, never mind then. Never mind.
But I would totally go to that cafe if I was going to be in Japan when that cafe is open. But yeah, it's like, man, I wish we got a second season of Mizaki-kun, because there are just so many jokes they could do. They could do a joke like this. They could, like, I don't know. I have faith in them.
Well, let's just hope they got the mess stuff with Tadakun out of the way, and so when the second season comes out, they'll be ready to go.
Yeah, Tadakun was... That had a disappointing ending.
Yeah, I guess it had the happy ending, but kind of a...
I was definitely joking with some people, this is ace appropriation.
Oh, Helen.
I was joking with some fellow aces. We make these jokes about you guys sometimes. Or even, like, I was listening to another anime podcast, and they took listener questions. And they did, and I'd sent one in when I'd had my handle Helen Doesn't Fall in Love, so they just went, aww, and I was like, no, guys, it's a joke, it's a joke. He's a joke. Yeah, that was the Anime is Lit podcast, which I'm enjoying listening to as I work on my Otakon preparations.
Speaking of which, how is your Otakon preparations going?
I have one cosplay done, I need, like, to finish 3 or 4 more, and I need to finish my panel. But it's traditional to finish your panel the night before in the hotel room, so I'm good.
Helen!
It is tradition!
I guess this is why I don't do panels, although I keep thinking I should.
No, I thought the reason you didn't do panels is because you're being press.
No! No! I can do both. It's just like I got think.
No, you can't.
I can just think.
No, you can't.
I just got to think of a good topic. That's the thing.
No. You will not have the time to do both because you're already so busy when you do press.
No, it depends, and I just work with my schedule. Really, like if I have a panel to do, then just work with that. Nothing complicated. Honest.
Yeah. So, I do know what my panel is going to be. I do know that it's going to be on the Saturday of Otakon at like 8:15 p.m. Four boys by girls, the women who make shonen manga.
Where was going to Otakon? Go see it. Go to that panel.
Yeah. I think they stuck me in the smallest panel room again, which is good. That's why I like it. I don't like the big rooms because I'm like, there's no way I can have to fill this all up.
Believe you'll get a big line outside your panel.
Justin, I just put the word manga in my panel title at an anime convention.
Just do it. It's not gonna be just the biggest panel. Believe.
But yeah, so. Oh, but I am making progress on it, so it should be a nicely finished panel by the time I present. Although I keep. God, every time I walk outside these days, I think, I'm gonna die in cosplay at Otakon. It's gonna be so hot. Or it's gonna be raining. I'm gonna die.
Don't die, please. Don't die.
The plan is always not to die. However, I am not in control of the weather in DC, and it's been miserable this summer. So miserable. So much flooding last year.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was pretty bad over here, too. It really was. I think we've talked about enough stuff today, haven't we?
Yeah, we can commiserate over recent rainfalls once we're done recording. Yes.
So that's the end of this week's podcast. As always, you can subscribe. Actually, please subscribe or let us know how we're doing, either via Apple Podcasts, Android, or comment. Send us some nice comments in the comment section. Rate us. Say nice things about us. Don't say bad things, or I'm just going to cry.
Also, let Justin know if you can tell that he was using a new microphone this week or not, since I could not tell.
I'll be the first to tell, though. I will.
And you can find me on the other podcast I do, which I mentioned, Manga in Your Ears, which is me, April, and Corey talking twice a month about various manga. We've just been doing like gay manga for the past 3 weeks, and it's been great. Past 3 episodes. Or you can also find me ranting about any number of things on Twitter at Wandering Dreamer. Also my reviews on the site, since I'm still trying to keep up those reviews, but oh my god, Justin, they're licensing so much manga these days, I can't keep up. It's too much.
Like, we talk about manga, we don't even get it to light novels. That's how bad it is.
Yeah, like, I thank god I've only got, like, 1 or 2 series I'm actually following right now, since light novels obviously take even longer to read than a volume of manga. Mm-hmm. It's so much.
So, until next time, have a good rest of the week, guys.
Bye.